Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
I'm so excited. Tonight's going to be another awesome night right here on Hip Hop National Radio. Okay. But before we get too deep in the topic, which is, by the way, the unforgiven word, why are we continuing to use it in our lyrics? Unfortunately, guys, I put the forgiven word, but it's the unforgiven word. Why are we continuing to use it in our lyrics? But before we get too far into it, let's do as we always do right here on Hip Hop National Radio. And I'm going to say, let's bow our heads a moment to pray that God let us come together collectively as a community to have a conversation about the things that affect this industry of music. Lord, we ask that you bless every mind and every ear that is tuned in, locked and loaded to Hip Hop National for the information that we provide here. We ask that you bless them to be able to use what we have in to their own discretion as they approach this industry of music. But Lord, let them not forget who has given them this gift. We ask you this in Jesus' name, as we pray, amen. The unforgiven word, guys, that's what we're talking about tonight. Why are we continuing to use it in our music? I have some experts on deck tonight, on deck with us, and we're getting ready to have us a good discussion. I'm going to welcome first, Neil Lester. Let me give you a little background about Mr. Neil Lester. He's a PhD. He has a foundation of Professor of English, Dean of Distinguished Professors of English, Parents Association Professor of the Year, Distinguished Public Scholar, Arizona Humanities Council. He comes out of Arizona State University. Neil, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Glad to be back.
Give us your. Could you tell everybody what it is exactly that you do today? And
well, I'm an English professor who studies literature and cultural studies. So I look at stuff and I try to make meaning of a lot of the questions that we have about what things mean and how they mean. And language is one of the things that I pay close attention to, write about, teach classes on, and do lectures on. So I care about the world and what and how things mean.
Awesome. Okay, and tonight, what would be your opening statement to tonight's topic, the unforgiven word? Why are we continuing to use it in our lyrics?
Well, it's interesting that you call it unforgiving because I think it does resonate with this notion that our American history is actually unforgiving. And if we can somehow better connect with and understand the nuances and the overt meanings of our American history, then I think there wouldn't be this confusion about its use both inside the African-American communities as well as outside.
Awesome. You stay with me, Neil. We got some more panelists to open up the floor with. We got Lady E on deck with us. Lady E, welcome to Hip Hop National,
sir.
If you would. Please, tell us who you are and what it is that you do that impacts this industry.
Well, I'm a creative writer. I'm a script writer. I offer journalism pieces. Right now I'm writing for FameMagazine.com. I'm also working on production and directing of a new comedy show, Hey Glory. I'm working on a few things, but, I mean, what I could really offer to the industry is an insight on the youth. And basically, you know, coming from a youth standpoint, you know, what we perceive the word as and what it means to us, what it doesn't mean to us. So I'm looking forward to this conversation.
So am I. So stay loaded. Keep it locked right here. Stay right here. And we also have Pastor Neil on deck. Pastor Neil, welcome to Hip Hop National.
Yes, sir. I'm delighted to be on. A pleasure.
And Pastor Neil, I guess it goes with the word that you are a pastor, correct?
Yes, I am. I have pastored for over 7 years. And I wear multiple hats. I'm also a social entrepreneur. I function in business. I'm also a business owner. And I also have a company called Jerusalem Marketplace Ministries, where we create support mechanism in business for various small businesses in the marketplace from a spiritual perspective.
All right. What's your thoughts on tonight's topic? The unforgiving word, why are we continuing to use it in our lyrics? I'm sure you're familiar with the use of it today.
Well, you know, if I should start on a very broad basis, in terms of the understanding the power of words, especially lyrics, and if I look back historically, and when I was growing up and the power of music and the words that were used in music that could bring you to tears, that could bring you to your knees, that could motivate you. There were various components to music that were so powerful. And it is very sad. I'm not really that much in tune with hip-hop music, but just having a cursory understanding and listening to various pieces here and there, I understand the power of it and the appeal to the younger generation. But it would seem to me that, you know, there is a lack of understanding and awareness of the power of words, as the professor stated. So there is that propensity to continue to use words that are negative, that negatively impact the mind. But my prayer is that there will be a metamorphosis, a change in the way that we think, to understand the power of words and how we can impact powerfully on the lives of others.
All right. Thanks for that opening statement there, Pastor Neil. And then we got Pootsie Lee, and then I got to bring in my brother Raw Dog, the ones who's riding with me in the storm. Pootsie Lee, welcome to Hip Hop National.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I go by the name Pootsie Lee, rapper down in Houston, rapper Clover G's, SPC. I'm also a ghostwriter, and lately I've been into the word, and I've been pretty much leaning towards the pastor side of life, the ministry, the scripture. And I'm just doing a lot of different things, just trying to open my mind. And this is probably one of the best topics for me at this point in time, because I am a fan of using the word, the unforgiving word. So
you're a fan of using the word. So let's see how you feel about that tonight.
Okay.
Okay, well, I want to hear. I want to see.
Okay, well, I'm going to give an opening statement, and I want you to come back to me because I'm okay. Right.
Give us your opening statement, Pootsie Lee.
Well, my opening statement, because I'm not offended by the word, you know, and the reason why I say I'm not offended by it, because unless it's said to me in a way where it's meant to defame me, and but when I use the word, I pretty much know my intentions behind it. I pretty much know what I mean when I say it and who I'm referring it to and why I'm referring it to them. And I think people who take offense to this word, an unforgiving word, I believe that they refuse to understand that this new generation have developed a whole new meaning for the use of the word, trying to turn it more into a positive thing, which would give those who use this word to defame us a slap in the face. And I just think that people who really take it personal just would not open their minds to understand that. But they want us to understand where they're coming from. And I want y'all to know, we get it. We understand it. But we, at the same time, we have our reasons for using this word like we do.
Okay. So let's dig into that tonight, definitely. Rodolph, I know you got your ears loaded, locked, and you're ready to fire away. Go for it.
Well, you know what? I'm happy to be on the panel. This is a good topic. I'm up here in Washington State, and, you know, I work with a lot of younger people. And, you know, what's funny about this is the younger people don't use the word love to a friend, whether it's male or female. They don't use the word friend. They don't call each other bro and sister anymore. They use the N-word in a fashion of, instead of the love, the friend, and what have you, it's the word that goes in front of it that makes the context of when they use it, whether it's a love or whether it's a friend, you know. And as they get older, they start to realize that you know, everybody doesn't interpret it the same way, but they do. And so there's a generation gap. There's that gap that when I'm in it, I'll make this statement. I was out the other day, and I heard some young people saying it to each other, laughing and smiling at each other, and they were friends. And I kind of got offended because, it was like, oh, you guys shouldn't be talking like that. But, you know, they had love for each other. They were friends. They
used it as a term of endearment, would you say?
Well, yeah, see, because they don't use the word love or friend or bro. We used to say those things. And it was when we heard that word, it was a negative, offensive point that the person was trying to bring to you. But they're bringing love, they're bringing friendship, and they're diffusing the power of that word. It's just us of the older generation that don't accept it because we know where it came from and we know that it had a bad vibe in the past. But see, got to look at it like this. The younger folks, they're a melting pot. You know, they're all different nationalities mixed into different flavors. And so, you know, when you talk, get back to Fuchi Lee, he will probably tell you the same thing. But, hey, get back into the discussion. All right.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your opening statement. I appreciate everybody's opening statement. Fuchi Lee led to some interesting points. I'm going to start off with you, Neil Lester. Do you think they use it today as a term of endearment? Does it change the course of what that word have taken us from? Because they do so. That's the question. You now have the floor, Neil Lester.
I'm actually confused by that argument. Because I hear that all the time, and I would want to complicate that to say it's not really a generational thing, because I actually know, high school students who really know historically what that word means. And if we have to start teasing out how you pronounce it and whether it has an A on it or an A-H, I would challenge those same young people who use the word, and not all do, to go back and look at some of the historical documents where masters, white masters, use that term of an endearment with their slaves. And if you go back to some of those minstrel songs, and they use that to talk derogatorily, black people being mocked by white people, that spelling was there, that same pronunciation was there. So to somehow imagine that in the last 30 years or so, we can somehow take something that is about history, and that's when I started saying, is the history of American race relations unforgiving? And the answer is yes. If we can see people tweeting that, and carrying on some of those same sort of disparaging attitudes and behaviors on black bodies today, then I wonder, how is this youth generation more powerful than years of history that are still in the present? So I'm actually confused by that argument that somehow we can take it and make it a term of endearment. Now, I'll add one final thing. If we talk about intra-racism, it's racism within our black communities, and we talk about Du Bois's sense of double consciousness, it makes me wonder how that is any different than black people killing each other and mistreating each other because black people don't care about each other. So I would like to put it in the context of that, and not just about language, but about the whole context of how black communities treat each other, how we speak to each other. And that's actually very telling that we don't use those words like brother and sister and loved one, or, you know, it makes me wonder, to what extent is the language really about an evolution or a regression of our evolving as a humane society and as a humane people who have been mistreated?
All right, thank you. Thank you. Let's go to Lady E. Lady E, I know you're ready. Fire away.
I'm here, poetic. I'm here.
Okay.
My standpoint thus far on this topic, and my view might vary from a few, but I feel it's we're giving it too much power and too much emphasis and too much meaning to the word. Just the fact that it remains an issue, we're taking a word and it remains an issue. The word itself is a topic of discussion constantly, day in and day out. It's a perpetuation of the idea that people, you know, are bringing from their history into the present day. It's a perpetuation, meaning that the refusal to change the meaning, the refusal to use the word in a different way, the refusal to accept it any other way than it's been presented in our history. And that's fine. And everybody has their own grounds, their own understanding, their own interpretation. But we have to understand that and move on, because our culture and black people killing each other, black people not getting along, black people and the way we treat each other, it's so much deeper than this word. And I think we need to move past the word and get to the spiritual aspect of what's really going on, because, you know, we're given this word perpetual power, and it's almost like Mother Teresa, like this. There's a quote by Mother Teresa that says, you know, I'll never come to an anti-war rally, you know, but invite me to a peace rally and I'll be there. We keep on fighting against the word, thus giving the negativity of the word power, which means it perpetuates in the culture as a negative stigma. So, I mean, for, you know, as far as I'm concerned at this moment, what we're discussing, my views might change. I'm open to interpretation. I'm open to everybody on the panel and everybody's opinion. But my feeling is we're giving it too much energy. We're giving it too much power. I'm not a scholar. I don't know the whole. I'm not going to sit here and claim to know the whole, you know, fruit of our history, the whole bulk of our history, and this word. I'm not going to sit here and claim that. But, you know, what I do know is perpetuation of something continually, you know, debating and fighting against does not get rid of the problem. So we have to come to an understanding of what the real problem is, and I do not think the problem is the word. I think the problem is much deeper and goes much, you know, much deeper than this word. We have to get to the root of the problem. And then maybe if we get to the root of the problem, we might be able to then address the usage and the understanding of this word. But I think the word is not the issue here. I don't think the word is the issue.
Are you calling on each of us, Poetic? Are you calling on each of us, or do we comment, or do we have a conversation?
I'm calling on each of you, but you are welcome to interject. This is a discussion.
Yeah,
if your line
open,
that means you can interject into the discussion. So
sometimes
I close them out because I'm trying to handle noise. Yeah. But go ahead.
Right, I understand. Well, I just want to add one thing, because I certainly appreciate what was just said, and that's absolutely the basis of the course that I teach on the word. A word is just sound and a bunch of letters put together. But the word has a context. So what's really keen and what was just offered by our colleague is the fact that that word becomes symbolic of something that is much deeper than what somebody says. And that's absolutely right, and it's right on point. And that's what I think, if you can get people to sort of see that a word means nothing without a context, and the context is about the history, that the history is also the present, then that's how I think we get a better understanding. And my final thought on this is, what is there about that word that makes it so powerful that people feel like they have to use it? If it's a term of endearment, what's another term that can be used? What is it about that word that has such a power over us, unlike any other word?
Okay. Pooka Lee, I want to engage you. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Rod.
Okay, when I made the statement that I heard some youth using that, they were not African American, I'm in my 60s, so my thought process went, why are they saying this word? And they didn't see me, and I'm African American, and I go, they're diffusing the old meaning. The young people are bringing it forward and diffusing what we knew the meaning of the word to be. And that was the concept that I was having a hard time to adjust to. Because they were diffusing it so that it wasn't just what we heard it started as, but it came to a new era. And you know, after I thought about it, I wasn't offended, because then it kind of told me that they were realizing that we're all just human beings. And so just because it was negative towards one race when it started, it's no longer considered a racial term. It's considered in a different light. And, you know, yes, if I ran with them, I would have a hard time understanding hearing that out of their mouths. But see, that's amongst the young people that they're bringing this about. And they were laughing and talking, and like I say, they were having a good time with each other. So, you know, I can't say how they got to that point, but then I understood that, you know, we're all human and we're all equal. So that word had changed for the younger generation. And so it wasn't an alarming point. It was an understanding of equality. You know, so it was a hard concept to digest for a few minutes. But then once I started thinking about it, I went, oh, okay, the board's even.
All right. I want to let everybody know that I want to engage everybody in the discussion. I want to keep your lines open, but I'm hearing background noises that kind of interfere with what we do. So I'm shutting lines off so I can find it, and then I'm opening those lines. If we can come to the agreement that we will be on mute until we're ready to speak or something like that, I can leave everybody's line open so we will engage into this as a strong discussion. And and I just want to say that you know, I see both points, because I see exactly what Raw Dog just mentioned all the time, people who are not African American using the words among each other as though it was their, as though they're taking ownership of the word themselves, and they're not using it as a racial term. They are using it more or less as a term of endearment among each other. I don't get it. Why are we still wrestling with the word all these years later? And that's a question coming from Neil Lester. These questions, some of them I'm proposing directly from him tonight. Why are we still wrestling with this word? Let's go to Neil back. No, let's go to Pootsie Lee, because I hadn't brought him in. And then I'll come back to Neil. Pootsie Lee.
All right. What's going on?
Okay. What's up, man? Why do you think we're still wrestling with the word today?
Well, see, here's the thing. See, the word came, well, there's rumors that this word, the origin of this word originated from, some people would say, the country Niger, Africa, I think that's how they pronounced it. Some say it comes from the Spanish word Negro. Some say it comes from the Greek word Necros. And all those words describe something black. And I'm pretty sure that there are many other, you know, natures where this word originated from. But one thing we all agree that the word came from a time where one race dominated another race, and the race that was dominant was white, and the race that was dominated was black. And the black was treated in such a way where, well, for one, they were slaves. Then, you know, they was beaten, they was hung, the women were raped, the children raped. They was limited to society and alienated from society. We understand all that. Bottom line, the blacks was treated like wet trash under that name. They was given a name beyond their race. You know, we know what the word is. You know, but the thing is this, people know what, I'm pretty sure people know what the word, we can't say the word, can we? Can we say the word? Because I'm trying not to say the word.
For the purpose of the show, I got to be honest with you, I think it's in fair use tonight. But I don't know how everybody else feel about it. So how do you guys feel about it? Your lines are open.
Well, the conversation is about choice, though. Obviously, you can say the word. You're not going to be arrested for saying it. It's not criminal.
The issue is
to what extent do we choose to say it or choose not to use it.
Okay.
So,
I'll be brief. Let me say this. Let me just say this to those who feel the word shouldn't be used. We live in a day and time where the word, you know, nigga has preceded the word nigger, and also became a worldly term for us, the young generation. We use this word for jokes. We use it in conversation. We use it in songs. We use it freely with no remorse. That's the problem that people have with us in that word. Now, on the other hand, if the word is used by a certain race, which I would say white people, then when it's referred to us, black people, the word seems offensive. It's considered as racist, you know. But we can, you know, talk about white people, we call them the devil, and there's never no argument with that. You know, that's how we look at it as a young generation. Okay, now, let me think of something. The bottom line is this. Let me say the bottom line is this here. This generation nowadays really don't care. You know, some people don't care. Some are ignorant of the use of the word, I say that. Some are too intelligent to use the word, I say that. Some rather not use the word. Some just really don't care. You know, I stress that to you more and more and more. That's one of the problems that I think the older generation have with us. It's like we really just don't care. We understand it. But the biggest problem I see is a lot of people are desensitized by this word. You know, they feel every time they hear the word, it reminds them of slavery, or how their great-great-great-great-great-grandparents were done. So they want to stop this use of the word altogether, you know. And to me, that's a self-interest attitude problem. You know, this is an unforgiving attitude problem to me. You know, it's really like an impossible to satisfy spirit when it comes down to that word. And, you know, rap artists is like Tupac, I think Ludacris or Peter Pierce. I don't know who actually came up with this definition for the word nigga, but they came up with a term called never ignorant, getting goals accomplished. The young generation took that and we ran with it. You know what I'm saying? But what did the activists do? The activists said, no, that ain't good enough. What's wrong with these youngsters? They're going to take a word that our ancestors died for, change it, and then give it a meaning? No, they didn't want us to do that. They just want us to not use the word. You know, then they started teaching us reasons why we shouldn't use the word. We didn't accept that. We understood it, but we didn't accept it. It was like, hey, look, you know, that happened back in y'all time. We understand, but we're not trying to live in today and time and deal and have that anger in us that y'all have. We didn't want that, even though the anger we got not, they ain't no better, but that's kind of how we took it. You know, they explained all the stories, which was all true, but the biggest problem, and I want the pastor to understand me when I say this, because he's a pastor and he should really understand this. When you take something like this and you appeal it to somebody's emotions, then that's easy, satanic way to manipulate anger out of somebody. And a lot of us youngsters didn't really care to feel no anger towards that. We understood it, we judged it, but we live in today and time, and we use this word in a term to where we can relate, you know. And I'm going to tell you what some guys told me. We was talking about this yesterday because I taught the poetic, and we was talking about this, and I asked them, they said, man, look, we got our meaning. Nigga, never ignorance, getting goals accomplished. Is it fair to say that Martin Luther King wasn't a person, a nigga, that got a goal accomplished? What about Malcolm X? Is it fair to say that Barack Obama wasn't a nigga who got a goal accomplished? First black president, first nigga president. When I said earlier, slapping the...
Hey, Pussy Lee, no, I appreciate
hold on, hold on.
It. Listen, we're getting ready to take us a break. You said
okay.
A lot. We gonna dissect what you about to say now and take that into another part because you're saying
right.
A lot. Because I definitely want to come by because for one thing I want to say, you just painted a real picture to why you feel that that word should be a use of in a positive use in the way in which you're using it. I want to hear what the panel got to say because I'm sure they're loaded. But right now, we're going to take a break. Guys, at the half hour, I'm just letting you guys know, at the half hour, I go to break, okay?
Okay.
Understand the platform. That's how we go. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio, The Unforgiven Word, Why Are We Continuing to Use It, and Our Lyrics. Did Pootsie Lee paint a picture? When we come back, let's dissect what he had to say.
Hip Hop National Magazine has everything you love about being part of the hip hop generation and more. The magazine has A-list celebrity interviews from hip hop national partner, The Val the BB Show, style, fitness, news, health, craft, music from all genres, artist development, also articles with business decision makers on how to succeed in the entertainment industry. Read Hip Hop National Magazine online and in print. Visit hiphopnational.com. Get your Hip Hop National news from the number one source, Hip Hop National Magazine.
All Ready Gear is ready to handle all of your promotional needs. If you are ready to see your name in lights, that's what we do. We bring your vision to life. We custom imprint t-shirts for churches, schools, family reunions, graduations, and teams. In fact, any and all kinds. We can actually create whatever you have in mind. We have great specials and discount rates just for you. We're All Ready Gear, where your image matters. Please call us at 214-333-0180. That's 214-333-0180 and ask for Diane. We're always giving you valuable information on time. This is the Hip Hop National Radio conference call and feedback line.
Industry professionals, have you been looking for an outlet to get your music heard? Hip Hop National Radio and HipHopNational.com, your digital service provider to get the best music first. Pop, rock, jazz, R&B, gospel, and etc. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. This is your chance to get it first
and stay on top of the competition.
HipHopNational.com is for you. Log on now.
This station is a member of BOB. Band of online broadcasters powered by Cloud Radio.
All right, and we're back. The Unforgiven Word, and why we continue to use it in our lyrics. But before we go into that, I'm going to let you guys know the purpose of our program. The purpose of our program is really to integrate these discussions, to inform our youth about various topics that impact this industry of music. Meanwhile, we've built a platform of over 1 million people who's tuning in to our program, and we're growing. We're growing daily. The purpose of the program is to help you exploit your music into the ears of people who have some kind of credibility in this industry. The best way for you to do that is to upload your music at hiphopnational.com. It costs you nothing. All we ask that you do is promote it to your family, friends, and fans, and get the word out, because we're here to help you. So help us help you. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio, the Unforgiven Word. Why are we continuing to use it in our lyrics? Just before we went to the break, Pootsie Lee painted a graphic picture to why he feels that the word should be used. Going to go back, starting at the top of the deck. I'm going to start it off with Lady E. Lady E, you heard what Pootsie Lee had to say.
Wow. Yes, I did. And I can honestly say,
what's your response?
I hit a point of a double standard.
And that's the question. You know what? That's one of Neil Lester's questions tonight. He said to us, is there a double standard regarding the use of this word? So I meant to say that.
Yeah. Because when we say this word amongst our friends, our relatives, reciting after a rap lyric, we don't give it too much thought. We're thinking endearment. We're thinking fun. We're thinking high energy. We're thinking kinship, friendship, folly. But when you use that term in reference to my doctor, Martin Luther King Jr., it takes a different meaning for me. It's not a word I would ever in any context, here, there, or otherwise ever use with his name in the same sentence. When I heard him say that, it really struck a chord with me, and I never gave it that much of a thought to that extreme. So yeah, I'm speechless at this point because now
you said it struck a chord. When you say it struck a chord, was it a negative chord or a positive chord?
I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
You didn't like it. Okay.
I didn't like it. It struck a negative chord. You know, because like I said, when you give the word power. When we say it around the house, around our friends, around our family. It's some, you know, this is, you know, lower level. We're not really disrespecting anyone. But I think because of what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stood for, I would think, what would he think of it to hear us use the word today? And if we would dare, if he was here today, refer to him as such. And I wouldn't. And I don't think many of my friends or colleagues that use the word lightly, you know, amongst ourselves would ever dare, if the doctor was here today, refer to him as that word in the same sentence. So, yes, I'm enthralled in this right now, and it's really making my, you know, my wheels turn and really give consideration and thinking to that word. So I'm just listening. I'm listening right now, but I'm really speechless at this point.
All right, I hadn't heard from Pastor Neil for a moment. Pastor
yeah.
Neil, you've I'm sure you've heard a lot. Your ears are full, and you're ready to flow with your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, let me first say that I concur with the lady when she initially said that there is something deep-seated. Our language, or the youth language, is something that is symptomatic of what is going on inside. But let me first say this, that there is a serious problem in our educational system where our kids are not taught history anymore. I recall when I was growing up, We did an extensive study in history. We knew about the slave trade. We knew about the Middle Passage. We had an understanding and a grasp of where we came from, our origin. These kids have no grasp and understanding of their history and the negative connotations to their current situation and how it can be ameliorated. So we have to start educating our kids, because right now our educational system is dumbing them down. They don't read. They are constantly on the cell phones. They are constantly on the computers. And it amazes me where our rap artists have a powerful medium where they can influence the minds of these youths and steer them in the right direction in terms of what is positive, how they should speak, how they can, you know, they should articulate, you know, and they're not doing it. They should be the ones as I wouldn't say the role model, but having that level of power to really influence them and steer them in the right direction. And I see this daily. I try to help our youth in setting up small businesses in various projects, and there is always a direct correlation, you know, with the way that they speak and the way that they carry themselves. And there's a correlation with their discipline level, their attitude towards work. So the way that we speak to each other, and let me say this, there is so much vitriol being poured out in our society. There's lack of respect, there's lack of love, there's lack of caring, there's lack of sharing. You know, I was recalling with a friend who I had for over 30 years from college. And we are covenant with each other. I mean, through thick and thin. And it's so difficult to find youth. And, well, it is very hard to find people generally who have that sense of love and camaraderie and commitment. And it is expressed in our words. So the word, our words, is only a symptom of really a character issue and a moral issue and a spiritual issue. And I think it's foolhardy for us to create a talk shop without going to something that is endemic and statistically, because I like to analyze statistics. I look at historically over statistics and performances, because that's what I'm trained in. And I see a correlation between a strong moral values, you know, it has nothing to do with money, but with strong family with moral values and the way that we speak and we relate to each other, and our words is just a symptom of a character issue.
Can I interact on this?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For Lady E, let me address what she stated. When I use his name in a sense of that word, I was really trying to get you, well, I wanted people to understand from the young generation, we don't look at him as just a simple person who stood up for freedom. We look at him as the same person that they beat, they defamed, they try to demoralize, try to tear him down to nothing, and the same person they gave that title, we turn around and say that same end that y'all done like that stood and rose and accomplished his goal. So we took the same role, and we don't, and that's why we took the word and we turned it around and gave it a positive definition, and we run with the same energy. To sit here and say, hey, I wouldn't put his name with that word, or to say that and to get emotional about it, that's part of what I said earlier. When you make this word appeal to people's emotions, then you instantly manipulate it to anger. Instantly.
But I'm gonna tell you what it is, Pussy Lee. What it is, don't get me wrong, if somebody kept hitting you, I don't care if they were calling you they call you Cat. They keep calling you Cat, but every time they hit you, they call you Cat, they hitting you with a bat across your head. It's hard to associate pain with pleasure. And that's the problem here. It's hard to associate the pain that that has taken us many years to overcome. Then we get to the point to overcome it when Martin Luther King was running, and then all of a sudden it's just gotten forgotten about. It's hard to that pain, somebody getting dragged in the street and you see them dying and that was your relative. It's hard to associate pain to the pleasure. I'm gonna let you address that to Lady E. I'm gonna let her say it, and then we're gonna go to Neil. Go ahead, Lady E.
Yes, sir. I understand your point, and it's not that I didn't understand the point that you were making. It's just the realization when you use the word together. I didn't say that you were using the words in a defamatory way. I know you were getting a point across, but just hearing the words in the same sentence, his name. And the word triggered something in me, and I was just vocalizing that, hey, maybe we have to go deeper. What is it? Because clearly the word, it's not the issue, but there is symptoms that's causing the word to trigger the emotion at different levels. The emotion is not triggered when we're using it around the house, and it's kind of desensitized when we're using it amongst each other. We have a different meaning, but when you put it in a context of the civil rights leader, you immediately bring to mind what he fought for, what he went through, how many times they called him that word, and it was nothing positive about that. It was no camaraderie about that when he was being called that name. So yes, it triggers a different emotion. Because when you bring up Dr. Martin Luther King and then the N-word, I don't associate that with camaraderie as we do today. So it does trigger a different emotion. It's not about being all emotional, but you have to accept and understand that, different things trigger different emotions. And, it's just a fact, but that's what we're discussing. We have to get to the bottom of why does this word have so much power? We can, we use it. I use it. I sing along to it. I rap to it. I use it amongst my friends. But yet, when I hear, if I overhear my 14-year-old say it, it kind of pinches my ear, and I'm like, hey, hold up, And I chastise him. Why? So that's why we're here to discuss. And I'm here just like, I don't know about everybody else. I'm here to offer my opinion. But I'm also here to hear opinions and hear insight because we're all growing, we're all learning. It's something that, I'm also interested in getting to understand a little bit more. I mean, but definitely I think as a result, the emotions is a result, not of the word, but, the underlying meaning and the different meanings. One thing with the pastor, he mentioned that, the rappers have a platform. We have to remember, I just want to say this really quickly, that it's entertainment. And I don't hold the rappers really any type of responsibility to teach my kids anything. If you ask my two kids who their role model is, with my back turned, I'm sure they'll say me because I take time and I teach them in the proper way. So we as parents, we have to make sure to teach our kids the right path so that they're not falling subject to entertainers and getting it confused with real life, because we have to keep in mind that we are talking about entertainers. Their job is to entertain. People get on stage, they're one way, and behind closed doors, they're completely someone different. So, I just want to throw that in there, that it's wholly our responsibility to teach the history. It's not the school, it's not the entertainers, it's the parents and the community as a whole to raise these kids and in the way they should go. That's me.
Neil Lester.
Go ahead. Can I jump in here for a second?
Sure.
I appreciated what the lady E said, and I had to start thinking back, and it was hard for me when I heard him use Martin Luther King's name, and Barack Obama. But then I reflected on something as a parent that we taught our kids. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt us.
Exactly.
They can't hurt you. And guess what? We just proved that that was a lie. Because as he put that word with Martin Luther King, it seemed to hurt. And, you know, so we taught our kids that.
No.
Well,
up so that they would be able to withstand what other people said to them. And now it's kind of coming back on us, and we go, wait a minute. How can you use that word with that man's name? That hurts because
well,
of
the
history. But then in the same point, isn't that what we taught?
Well, can I add a couple of things here? Yeah, I'm still confused about this sense of trying to disconnect history as though it's a chapter that's closed. We know that that word is used against Barack Obama to this very day. Just look at the reelection and look at any number of
mm-hmm.
things that happen relative to race. So people are still being dragged through the streets. We just had a killing of Trayvon Martin. So I don't know about this whole disconnect between that's what history was. That word is still used disparagingly among black people today. So the sense that we can somehow connect it from the history is a little odd to me. The other thing is in using that word the way it was described, allegedly the way Tupac uses it, he wasn't using that as a term of endearment. My read of that is he's using that ironically or sarcastically. That's a very different way of trying to use that as a term of endearment. And I go back to this sense again, if people would just read and digest Du Bois' sense of double and triple consciousness, then it gives us an opportunity to think about it, and it becomes a choice, not something we use because everybody else is using it, but how do you choose to use it? And that's exactly the way the last poets used it in the 1960s. It was not a term of endearment. It was used as a way of trying to chastise those black people who were not for the revolution. And if Richard Pryor can stop using it, and he made a fortune on using that word, and Paul Mooney can stop using it, it makes me wonder what is there about this generation, and I don't want to lump everybody together, that keeps us from not using it, or that keeps us using it and not recognizing that there's some problem with it.
Like I was telling you, telling the panel, I don't think, I'm 33 years old, like I say, I have an understanding of both sides, but I would say a hypocrite if I tried to convince y'all that I have a problem using the word. That's why I'm taking the stand that I know I will use the word. This is how the generation I grew up with understand the word. This is how we perceive it. But I think when we tell that to an older generation, or I use the term activists because the people who go against this word, they feel like if we don't accept the way that you all try to put it to us, then either you can't tell us nothing, or we don't understand it, or we just neglect all what happened for us to be like we are today. And that's not true. I'm very intelligent, and I'm very wise of this word and where it originated from. But in the same sense, I don't hold that burden on my shoulders. I don't hold that as a negative conscience in my mind. We use the word freely amongst each other in a way that we understand it. And to say this harshly, I'm to the point where the people who have a problem with this word being used, if they don't want to give no sympathetic or no understanding to how we understand it, then we just simply void y'all out. That's why it's like that. We void the negativity out because that's what it is. Because we start feeling like the only people who to have a problem with this word are the ones that are racist. Because when you hear this word, that's when you get a reaction like, no, that's a bad word. You know, you shouldn't use that word. You know, do you know where that word came from? It came from your ancestors. And You make us mad when you do that because we got to think, oh, they did our ancestors like that? Now we hate white people. We want to go out.
And I got to ask this question on top of his statement. Is it an underlying of prejudice that we're dealing with when we are thinking about the pain that word caused us? Go
it
Neil.
Is.
Tell me.
I think it is.
I'm gonna tell you why. Let me say, I'm making sure. Let me say this. It is. Because when I first was approached about this word, I was young. I was about 26 when somebody actually tried to check me about that word. And this is what they done. They made me mad. When I told them, I said, man, that stuff kind of make me mad. You know what they told me? And y'all know I ain't lying when I say this. They say, you're supposed to be mad. This is how they done you. This is how they done your people. So you shouldn't use that word. And I say, now I want to go around and slap the next white person I see. And then if I did that, I'm slapping a person, I'm talking about my age ratio, not nobody that's older. A person in my age ratio that used the same word among they people, they don't understand slavery and the whole history of this no more than I do. So is that really fair to us to be held up to a standard with this word that nobody really, really, really sat down and tried to get to us psychologically besides just showing us pictures and stories and movies of how we was done to instill an anger in us that we really don't deserve to have? Is that really like, that's how we take it? And I'm sorry if I'm trying to rationalize this, but that's how we take it. I'm just letting you all know.
Neil, I know you teach a class on it. And you've analyzed those words tonight, but what's your perspective on Pusey Lee concept and his thought of how he embraced this word? How do you feel about that?
Well, I applaud whoever is able to do it, and it is clear that the history has been studied. Again, if this were some word like any other word, and it's not, it's been called the most toxic and the most this and the most that. If I look at the sort of history of race relations, and that's what it comes out of, then it makes me, first of all, see this as not a generational thing because older people still use it. But I do want some sense that, because whatever it is, if there's a power there, if there's some magic pill that can be taken so that you can somehow create a positivity that doesn't have to be teased out like we just teased it out in that conversation. We had to have explained, it had to be, oh, it's a term of endearment, oh, it's this, oh, it's that, then it makes me wonder, there's something that's problematic about the word at the root of it, and that's what my class does. My class is not about telling people what they can and can't say because people have a right to say whatever they want to. I will tell you that my response would be the very same if I walked out to my car after this interview and I saw N-I-G-G-A scrawled in the side of my car. So this is about performance, it's about identity. It's about why this word seems to have a kind of spell over us. And I'm not talking about how it's used by non-African Americans. I'm talking about how black people use it among ourselves or choose not to use it. And I like this idea that we're talking about it as a choice. If you know and then you still choose to use it, then that's. But it's for those who don't know and haven't looked at it as a connector to a history that is still very present with us today. So this is not about something that's gone and the chapter's closed and we're on to a new chapter, because I would challenge, you know, how do we measure progress? We may not have Jim Crow, but we got other kinds of things that play out in courtrooms.
Can I please crack a joke? I'm laughing. It's going
to
be 5
joke,
10 seconds.
Then we got to go to
10
break.
Seconds.
So go ahead.
Yeah, 10 seconds. When he said he went out to his car and he saw that scratch in his car, I can promise you, if somebody put that in my 550, I'm going to probably be more mad that they scratched my car than that word, just being a young generation. I'm just trying to get y'all to see how we see it. That's all. But I think we'll be more mad that they scratched our car. And we can go to break.
I got to tell you guys, I'm locked and loaded to this conversation tonight. I got an earful, and I'm going to tell you just like this. I can hear the passion on both sides. And, man, Pusey Lee, I can hear your passion. You'll stand up and fight for this word. It is a word, I got to be honest with you, that I can see we're obviously wrestling with, and that's the truth. And we continue to wrestle with it over for years and years and years as we all see it. You got to agree. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about, can the word be buried as the NAACP tried many years ago. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Y'all stay with us.
Forever Memory Blankets, the place where you can turn your photo into a masterpiece. If you want to live like the stars, then here's your key. These are one-of-a-kind creations. Our portfolio includes Dwayne Wade, Music, Slim Thug, Teresa Budon, Bun B, and so much more. All you have to do is log on to www.fmblankets.com. That's www.fmblankets.com. Or you can call 214-403-1524. That number again is 214-403-1524. And tell them Hip Hop National Radio told you to give them a call.
You've got 5 minutes? I've got that celebrity interview. Hi, I'm Valder Beebe, host of the Valder Beebe Show. Join me daily for my new brand, That Celebrity Interview. I get the opportunity to chat with the world's most fascinating people. I interview actors and directors and entertainers, celebrities, and everyday people on important topics and issues and life-changing causes. My interviews are authentic, revealing, and personal with my guests, who are in a 21st century mode. They're either in studio, by phone, satellite, or in exotic locations. I've interviewed people in Istanbul, Israel, London, all across the globe. Tune in daily to That Celebrity Interview. Go to ValderBeebeShow.com for broadcast locations of That Celebrity Interview. I'll see you there.
Okay, let's see if you're ready to promote your record. Hot music production? Check. Artwork and artist bio ready? Check. Advertising, marketing, and promotion? Let's begin. Start your buzz right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're more than just radio. We have an exclusive magazine, a national flyer buddy system, an exclusive artist interview line, and we educate you on the way. And if you're ready, email us your MP3s today to mymp3@hiphopnational.com. Be sure to include the artist's name, song title, and contact phone number. And after you email us, give us a call at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555. Hip Hop National Radio, your platform for advertising, marketing, and promotion. Start advertising right here, right now, on Hip Hop National Radio. We're on standby. Email us and give us a call.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
And we're back. We're talking about the unforgiven word. Why are we continuing to use it in our lyrics? And man, I got to tell you, this topic is bringing out the energy, negative, positive, anger. It's bringing out emotions. Why is these emotions being stirred up when that word is being used? Well, let's get into it. And the question is, could we bury the word? Or should the word be buried, as the NAACP tried years ago? Let's start with the lady first. Lady E.
Yes, sir. So the question is, should we bury the word?
Should we bury the word?
How can we? Is that possible? I don't know if they created a way to eradicate words these days, but I don't think that's even a possibility. I mean, were we going to outlaw it? I think the issue is we have so many issues in the black community, and one of them, you know, a lot of it is pulling and control, you know, and I think when we take a word, and this is why I say we put too much power behind the word. Yes, there's a root to this word. It's coming from somewhere. But then we have to see the other side, that it means something to one person and it means a completely different, it has a completely different meaning to somebody else. It's almost like to him that is a sin, let it be a sin. Some people are offended. Some people are not offended. We can't do away with the freedom of speech. You know, people have their right to say what they want to say, when they want to say it, how they want to say it, as ugly as it may be sometimes. But I think we need to be concerned more of our individual selves. You know, what will you stand for? With, you know, what will you allow yourself to do? What will you allow your kids to do? We have to start with ourselves. We have to not concentrate so much on, you know, the other person, because if we have issues with ourselves, we have to make sure that are addressed. And when you change yourself, then you can, you know, once you internally change yourself, that change can then impact the world, you know, one person at a time. But I think we need not to focus so much on the word, because when you discuss the word, that's what people are seeing, the word. Oh, the word is just this, and the word is just that. It's just the word. And they're not seeing the root of the problem. So sometimes you have to go an indirect way to get to, you know, what the root of the issue is and address that. And addressing the actual problem will then result in the change of or eradication of that word. But just addressing the word head on is not going to change. You know, I don't think it will change the understanding. I don't think it will change the youth. I don't think it will change the generation today using it as a term of endearment. We have to go deeper, as I said earlier, and find out, you know, why does this word have so much power? Is it us, the people that are fighting, you know, against the word, people that say, hey, I can use it, but you can't? Is that what gives the power? Because if that's what gives the power, then it's something I have to fix with me. If what gives the power is, no, you can't use that word, our ancestors this and our ancestors that, if that's what's giving us power, then giving the word power, then we have to fix whatever that issue is we have within ourselves. We can't change anybody. We can't change a mind. We can't make people bow down to what we individually believe. We can only make sure that whatever we believe, that we're aligned up with, and pray and contribute to those that want to hear and listen. But I think we definitely don't need to be forcing the issues. I mean, a lot of times when we talk about civil rights issues, the gay rights come up, and they refer to gay rights as civil rights, the new civil rights movement. And that's another topic for another day. But I mean, it just goes to show that, you know, people have a different understanding in their own mind, and individually and as a group, what is what? What is reality? What is supposed to be? What is not supposed to be? And you or I will not be able to change that. The only thing that we can do as individuals is make sure that we're on the right track as far as our beliefs, and then set the example, you know, and we can be vocal about it, but we cannot be judgmental about it. And I think we'll start progress. But I think what's going on is a lot of miscommunication, the younger generation feeling judged or feeling misunderstood, and then the older generation feeling like they're being beaten again when they hear this word, or when they're not being listened to, when they're not being respected. So I think we just dealing, it starts with us, and then, you know, searching our own self. Can the word be eradicated? Can it be buried? I don't think it's about the word. I mean, that's honestly my stance. I don't think it's about the word. I think it's deeper than the word.
Lady E.
Yes.
I do have a question for you. What generation would you classify yourself in? In the younger generation? The middle between? Okay, so you're 32. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wanted to know, Pootsie Lee. I think he falls in what era do you fall in, Pootsie Lee? How old are you?
I'm 33 years old.
33. Okay. And Neil Lester, where do you fall in that gap? Are you above that age? Closer into.
That seems like an unfair question to be asking.
Because no,
I would draw this
I'm
back,
reading,
and I said
I'm,
this.
Because my next question is it a generational gap?
Right. Well, but that I can tell you that it's not, because I've talked to young people who don't necessarily use the word, as the gentleman said earlier. Mm-hmm. So this really is about choice. I'm not even sure we can make it a generational thing.
Okay.
So I'd like to see if we can move past trying to divide, because I don't know where the generation line is. And it's not like when you become a certain age, you will use it, and then a certain age, you won't. So I'm not sure how relevant that part is.
I got an aunt. my mom's sister, they real close in age. My mom is truly offended by the word, and she it brings her to tears because of some of the things that she associated what happened to her as a little girl. Whereas my aunt from Detroit, she used the word as a term of endearment, a term of anger, any kind of which way she want to, because she kind of feels disconnected to the word.
Right.
She doesn't have the same feeling. Yeah.
But we just pointed out there are some high school students and some youngsters who also get it and who choose not to use it. So we just like we can't say it's a double standard, white people use it, black people don't. Not all white people use it. Not all black people use it. So the idea of burying it, clearly it can't be buried if we're still talking about it. And not saying it doesn't make it go away. Yeah. Not saying it doesn't make it go away.
Can I chime in here?
Yes,
it seems like people want to remove the meaning, but they more than the word, from what I'm hearing, because I'm sorry. Some people, they get very emotional when they hear this word. Some people, it just don't bother. Some people, you probably tell me, personally, you really don't understand because you weren't living in that time. Okay, that's a fact. That's the reality. So you should understand why Pusey Lee don't perceive it that way. But Pusey Lee understands what you are describing, what happened in that day and time. But it doesn't have that psychological effect on me to when you hear this word, I get emotional immediately. That's why I stated when they try to teach us about the word, they try to appeal to our emotions.
Right. Because I don't think anybody on the phone were slaves either, though. So we can't we can't this whole sense of trying to parse out history and make it.
I agree. That's what I'm saying.
That's why I don't know how productive that is to make it about a generation. Because not all hip hop uses it either.
Well, some people are drilled.
Can I say something?
Some people are drilled. Let me use a different scenario because I mean I can defend it and I can also sympathize. Let me use a different scenario right quick. Oh, let me just say this. To get people to bury this word.
Can I say this? This is very important. We have about 30. No, we don't have 30. We have about 17 minutes left on this show. So.
Okay.
Go ahead. Just to let you say that. So.
Okay. To bury this word, you have about the same amount of opportunity to get two women to stop using the B word against each other. Because it's the same scenario, same principle. They use it against each other freely. Men hear this all day. But the moment we use it, it's offensive. Or when two women get into cat fight, it becomes offensive. But when two women use this word, it's no problem. That's the same way to generate what the people of the generation who choose to use this word feel. It's no problem. And I think people just won't accept that. They want to embed in us it is a problem. And we saying, look, we understand, but we okay. We know what we're doing. This doesn't mean we do not understand what happened. We perfectly okay with using this word amongst each other. What business of it is yours? That's how we look at people when they come and try to force that on us. And I just think some people who get emotional, we don't get mad because y'all don't use it. We don't come here and say, man, you can use that word. You should be able to say that word. Your ancestors died for it. You should be able to say that word. They earned that word. We don't come to y'all like that. And if we did, we'll trigger y'all. So it's the same effect. You know, it's like a parallel truth. It's two opposite truths to this. And I really, just as much as y'all want me to understand what I already understand, I want y'all to kind of give y'all more of an insight. I'm not going to say y'all don't understand it. I just want to give y'all an insight so when you do try to teach us, you can say, hey, this is what this guy was saying, how people are thinking. Let me attack them from this way, and maybe you'll be more successful in trying to get people to stop using this word the way that y'all, all this word that y'all feel is so derogatory. We just look at it as, hey, this is my, like Raw Dog said, I think, with the love, this is my dog, this is my, man, me and my, we go way back.
this is just how we, it's a worldly term to us. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is.
Raw Dog, you come in.
Well,
can I chime in?
Go ahead, Pastor Neil. And then he was trying to chime in earlier. Go ahead, Pastor Neil.
Let me say this, and I need to probably bring in a spiritual aspect to this. And although I'm going to bring in a spiritual aspect to it, I must also say that I do a little bit of writing, and my background is mathematics. So I have a sort of propensity to analyze figures and statistics. And let us all face it, the world is in real deep, serious problems. Teenage suicide is up. You can go across the board economically. We are coming to a point of convergence where things are falling apart rapidly. We have to take a commonsensical approach and step back and say, what is wrong? And when we look at the type of, I do a bit of counseling as well from a pastoral position, we have to go back to fundamentals. Look historically what worked, and then we draw the parallel and look statistically in our time and see what is not working. Then after you've done your analysis, then you've come to a scientific conclusion, if you will, but I will also go back to a spiritual conclusion. And let me say this, words are powerful. And when we counsel with families and individuals and we encourage them to change your language, be more friendly in your words, be more friendly with your intent, it makes a difference in relationship. There is a spiritual, invisible aspect, and the Bible tells you that death and life is in the power of the tongue. I also do a little bit of consultancy with small businesses, and I talk to management teams, and it's always positive reinforcement. What are you saying to the team? You know, and there's always a correlation between their language and their attitude. So words are powerful. So if I am using a word that is going to cause offense to my neighbor, to me, it's retrograde. There's no purpose served in me continuing to use that word. Our intent in living is to have a peaceful and a joyous environment. If what we are purporting is not bringing that conclusive intent, why are we doing it? Why are we doing it? We have to take a grip of ourselves, as Lady E says, individually, and also look at some fundamental principles that have worked over the ages. And we have to start readopting those principles, using the words for the positive words. If a word historically has negative intent, why are we using it? What is the logic behind it? Will that advance our society? So we have to really take a deep look at the fundamental aspect of our lives and look and see what has worked. And there's too much, what I say, you know, the simplicity in the way that we live. We have to take, for us to really survive through these times, and they're really serious and challenging times, we have to go back to some of the fundamentals of our lives. It's not just sheer anything goes. You know, it's just a matter of subjective thinking. What is good for individuals, you know, it's okay. But we're all living on this planet. Will we survive if we continue down this path of irrationality and lack of fundamentals in our lives?
Radal.
Well, you know, I think I'm the oldest one on the panel, and I hate to say it like
you,
that.
I marched
for civil rights.
You think, but not necessarily. We got the big one on the tape tonight.
Yeah, but you know what I'm hearing? I think I'm the oldest because I marched for civil rights. I heard the N-word shouted as we marched. And, you know, it was a word that it was very offensive. But you know what? I'm looking at the evolution and the survival of the next generation. And I did bring up, you know, the sticks and stones and words will never hurt me. We taught that because we didn't want our kids to find themselves in a situation where they erupted the wrong way behind hearing a word. So we tried to take and make that word just a word and nothing more. You know, and so what you have here is a situation where, you know, it's not one of the pleasant words to hear as a black man, but I have to accept because, you see, you know, I see it as a word that was substituted for another word that was even more, had more effects on people. And that was the mother F-er. And the young folks have stopped using that. And they substituted the N-word for that, you know, and they make it affectionate. But see, even in that word that I told you that they stopped using, it was an affectionate to some people and it was intimidating to others. And so what happens is that, you know, I don't run with the young folks, so, you know, I understand they have to communicate amongst each other. As a young person, I used words that I'm not proud of. I hear everybody on the panel here, and I want you guys to look back in your past, and did you ever use any derogatory words that you don't use now? You know, we're standing on a platform here, and we're looking down, and we're saying, hey, you know, that word. But did we say other words that we're just not proud of, that we don't use anymore because we got wiser over a period of time? You know, and I see that the young man standing alone and being honest about the N-word, you know, he's going to evolve. He's going to evolve one day and go, you know, I'm tired. I understand, and I want to do something different. But at this time, amongst the people that he communicates with, they won't understand him. It's a shame, you know. And, you know, we all grew up. We're all still growing, you know. So to say what we did in our 30s, well, yeah. They say that you're not mature until you hit your 40s. You know, you start to thinking better. You start to having better values. And I can see that for him because he's intelligent, and it's not like he hasn't figured out that it's not negative, but then in time he's going to look and he's going to say, well, you know, I heard this on the radio, and the panel talked to me, and I'm looking at how I saw that at one time. And rather than cause confusion or it being distorted, he'll eliminate it. But right now, he explained what he understands behind it. I respect it. I don't like the word. But, hey, you know, it's not a point of me being able to judge. It's not, you know, so accepting the word, no, not in my household, not in my kingdom. But when I walk in the world, hey, I'd rather hear that word than the MF-er word. You know, I just have to say it like that. All right.
All right. I want to say this, and we're getting ready to close it out. But Pastor Neil said something very vital to that. He said, the power, life and death is in the power of the tongue. The Bible has a true meaning to it. The truth is, you rather hear the MF or that instead of the N-word. Well, the truth is, both of them come with a negative connotation if you're coming at somebody aggressively in any kind of way or you're saying it in any offensive nature. But, it, like, again, on the softer side, it has become a term of endearment among people. But when you associate that word, you know, in closing, I want to hear what your thoughts are in closing. Let you get 2 minutes. You got 2 minutes, Neil Lester, to speak your mind. A minute and a half. Go. Speak your mind.
Well, it won't take that long. What I'm appreciative of is the fact that we can have a conversation and that people don't have to agree and we can be civil. And I appreciate the fact that this is a learning opportunity and we are evolving. I will just say for the record that part of where I am on the word is that I didn't grow up using it, nor was it used in my household. And once I began to study it because I was curious about it, then I came to a better understanding of it. And I can only save myself. I'm not out trying to save anybody else. All I do is what I've been trained to do, which is to teach. But also to teach is also to learn. So I've learned a lot, and I appreciate the honesty and the straightforwardness and the fact that we're continuing to try to understand what is still very complicated about us as a people.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that, sir. And we're going to move on to Lady E. In closing, what are your thoughts?
Yes, sir. After this discussion, my thoughts are simply, if it doesn't add, it takes away. If it doesn't uplift, it tears down. We're an evolving breed of people, and everything that we do has an effect. Coming away from this discussion, I will challenge myself, and, you know, with this word, I'll challenge myself to consider, you know, is this word affecting or bringing negativity or perpetuating negativity in my atmosphere, in my life, in the lives of people around me, or even in black people as a whole. You know, I don't, if what I don't say can change negativity, the negativity that's going on, is I can start with me, and refraining from this word will then bring about a positive change, even if it's just in my life. That's something I'm willing to entertain. So after this discussion, I definitely see it in a different light. And I think I'll move on from this, you know, with a better understanding of, you know, that word as I use it or don't use it or, you know, hear it again. So that's my word.
Thank you very much, Lady E. Pootsie Lee, final thoughts.
Well, you know, I feel like...
Give me 1 minute, 1 minute and a half, bro. I want to get to Pastor Neil and Rodolph.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Back in the days, the word was totally bad. It had no positive influence whatsoever. And I think in today's time, when we decide to use the word, you know, people who choose to use it, is it our favorite word? No. I believe we honestly look at it as a worldly term amongst the people we choose to use this word against. If I be honest, if I went somewhere to a restaurant where it was all white people, and I heard somebody say, "Look at them ends over there," I'm pretty sure we will react because we understand what their mentality is. And that's the only thing I want people to understand from this conversation. You know, I don't think people should really take offense to anybody because they say they understand it, but we among each other don't mind using the word the way we choose to use it because we understand what we mean. Y'all don't. And I just think that's the biggest fight with, you know, the people who feel like that they are, or the people who say they're done using that word, I don't use it no more, versus those who do use it. It's like trying to force somebody not to sin or force somebody to take God's word in and do what the Bible say when they have free will to live their life or destroy their life. That's kind of how I believe the older generation are coming down on this one word. Like, people don't have the right to choose and understand why they do what they do with this word. And that's really all I got to say about it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Pastor Neil. Wait. I'd say Pastor Neil and close his mic. Pastor Neil, go ahead.
Yeah, I must commend everyone for a real robust and vigorous period of discussion. And I must say that we can be impacting. We are at a point of inflection in our nation and in the world where we are in deep trouble. With 16 $3 trillion of national debt, and with a gross domestic product of over $70 trillion worth of debt, with interest at $1 billion worth of $1 billion a day worth of interest payment, economically we are in a serious problem. And it's also a reflection of the moral situation in our nation. We can change the nation. We can change it by having discourses like this, changing the way we speak, you know, using words of love and encouragement and, you know, and positive reinforcement and develop, changing the whole, having a real metamorphosis in the way that we think. And words are important. There's a spiritual and a subliminal and a real cryptic way, power in words that we don't see. When you reinforce a child and you encourage a child, it changes their attitude. So I must commend everyone.
I got to cut you short, Daniil, because we got to go into, I got to allow time for the other part of our show. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, being locked and loaded to Hip Hop National. Really appreciate it. Raw Dog, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, I just want to say the N-word is an easy word to say, but I love all of y'all, and that's the hardest word to say. We need to say it more to each other rather than the N-word. I'm through.
All right. What an impactful out. Raw Dog, Dr. AT, take it away.
Hand the flyers out, let the people see I'm back in the house.
What's up, guys, and welcome to Hip Hop National Rails in the Mix with Dr. AT. I'm your host.
Next artist to get this.
And the next song is going to be by Mike Militia, Feel So Good. Next on deck, Jody B, Keep Living.
Them little boys who never had their mama call them. I'm talking to the ones who end up dropping out of college and hustle all day just to make a couple dollars and hoping that you make it just to live another day and crying every night, tears dropping from your face and struggle just to wake up in the morning cause of pain and hoping God sees you on your knees when you pray. Your baby mama tripping, your son's father sipping to another bitch, staying up waiting for a ring about to slip. Cause he had to go to war, and now you find yourself walking to the liquor store. Same issue, different day is what you're thinking on your mind. Living life without your baby. baby brother cause he's doing time. Ashamed to go to school because the clothes you can't afford. 16 and pregnant, so them niggas call you whore. Keep your head up, little mama, something gotta give. Stay in school, little soldier, you got a life to live. To all them good women stuck living with a bad man, he always quick to hit you, but he never hold your hand. I know you wanna fly away and never have to land. I know you wanna throw away that big old wedding band. I know you really trying to fight and take a firm stand. I just really wanna tell you that I understand. Yeah.
With Dr. Ray T. can be heard on the Spreaker channel. www.spreaker.com/listen. Hip Hop National Radio. Next on deck is A.Y. Lee, My Way, a Byron production.
A.Y., what up, baby? You got my back on this?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we just go run through this thing. Come on.
I've got fire, my one desire is to take you higher, but I'll do it my way.
This patiently waiting is so frustrating. Watching the last talent to capture what I've been chasing. Then others hang on to every word like they're the Messiah. There is none higher, but on the contrary, I'm so sick and scary. So call for a citywide evac before I snap and your whole system collapse. Cause in order to rebuild, I must first sit down. And my sound is so profound, I could be world-renowned. But I'm being suppressed like a muzzle on a barrel of a robbery and grenade. But still I pray, and still I say, I got neck while they continue to play. And I continue to return day after day. But the results are still the same, what am I to do? I build my own course, I make my own rules. Put the game how I see fit, I will not lose.
tone. Am I better off alone? Cause a solid homegrown influence on me is very limited. But for you, it's like you that freshman kid with no ends and no friends. They did whatever it took to try to fit in, but never did. You're losing a long one cause you're sick of some friend passing by them pennies and forget dollars are made from cents. Next on no business bits, so you can't see. You're about to drive into the abyss of mediocrity. It's best you fall back. You better smarten up cause all brown nose and get you two girls in one cup. And it's not what's up. I'm so far ahead the Joneses can't catch up. I'm what?
That fire, my one.
Does it first, but who does it bigger? Just like women, it's not who's cuter, but who's got the better figure. Go figure, all the rigmarole and hoop jumping means nothing if these cats keep lunching. So as long as you keep pine hopping, you'll never be chart topping. Tell me why. A few years back, mad cats was walking around with an East Coast swag. And now they got a Southern drawl, throwing auto-tune on all their songs. And tell me why. You don't want to pay for the beats that'll change the game and make their style concrete. With current, it's past. Me, I pass. Enhance and advance while you trying to make a new dance.
That fire, my one desire.
Next on deck is Lil E, Living Life.
Yeah, yeah. It's your boy, E. Play. They ain't know I was gonna make it. I'm just laughing one more time. But check me out. I'm living life good. Yeah, yeah. Hey, E,
Play. I'm living life good. Born and raised in the hood. Yes, I am from the bottom.
I'm the greatest, but really I am a hero. Still it takes getting wrecked, but I have to sell dope. But even if I go broke, then I'ma have to sell some more. I'm trying to get my name out there, cause no one knows. It's like I don't exist in this world. See, I'm not invisible. I stand my ground like a statue. I'm something that's visual. Picture me in your gallery, even in your collage. I'm different from these other rappers, so I don't camouflage. I try to do my best to get shows, and when it happens, I wear my best hoes. Shirt tie slacks with my best clothes. When life get hard like concrete, I just plant my 10 toes, but nobody knows I'm growing up like tall afros. Until they look at me and then they look in my eyes, and then they start to realize that I'm not a disguise. It's really me, Mr. E, or I to the C. But my stage name is E Classy, baby.
I'm living life good, born and raised in the hood.
That's why I'm so cold. No need to get myself together, cause I'm already thrown. We live in a life that's under control. I'm just trying to get to the point where I can have money to blow. See, I'm the youngest rapper that most of these people don't know. But when it comes down to play football, shout out to my boy Joe. That was his sport, and the only thing he had on his mind, he was just moving too fast instead of taking his time. I try to make the right decisions in life instead of doing wrong, even if it takes me a week to spend some days alone. I mean, to get my mind right, cause see my swag already tight, and all I have to do now is just grind all night. I'm just trying to do my best, and that's real, cause I'm hungry for this game. All I need is a full meal. I'm a talented young man who was blessed with a great skill. He class reporting to you live, for real.
I'm living life good, born and raised in the hood. Yes, I am from the bottom, so just keep that up.
On deck is Big Moochie with a new hotline club dance called Baka Shuffle.
Hey, I need everybody to report to the dance floor right now for this one here, baby.
Uh-oh.
This new live dance hustle, you hear me? This going out to all my bikers all across the world. We gon' call this hit a biker shuffle.
Let's go. Now walk it to your right. Now move it on up, move it on up. Now walk it to your left. Now bring it on back, bring it on back. Now kick with it, kick with it. Hop out in, now kick with it. Step to your right, now slide with it. Turn to your left with it. Walk it to your right. Now move it on up, move it on up. Now walk it to your left. Now bring it on back. Hop out in, I kick with it. Step to your right, now slide with it. Turn to your left, with it. Do the biker shuffle.
Big Moochie, baby.
The biker shuffle. Do the biker shuffle. Do the biker shuffle.
Y'all know how we get down, man.
Do the biker shuffle.
Do the biker shuffle.
Do the biker shuffle.
Come on, come on.
Do the biker shuffle.
Okay, okay, y'all, here we go again. Big Mooch had to do it once again. Everybody love the swagger, how I do it. Made up a dance for bikers to do it. With a beat, I move my feet to it. Put it on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube it. Since I'm a homie, you best believe that I gotta hold it down for all my MCs. Now walk it to your right. Now move it on up, move it on up. Now walk it to your left. Now bring it on back, bring it on back. Now kick with it, kick with it. Hop out in, now kick with it. Step to your right, now slide with it. Turn to your left with it. Walk it.
All right, now, come
what
on.
I'm about to do right now.
What you gonna do,
matter of fact, I'm just gonna be quiet and I'm gonna go y'all a little cheat sheet on this dance right here.
That's
hey,
right.
Y'all know how it go down, man. We gonna see if y'all can do this without me speaking all the way through. Is y'all ready?
Hey,
hey, well, let's go. Now walk it to your right. Now walk it to your left. Now kick, kick. Hop out in, now kick. Step to your right, now. Turn to your left. Hey, now walk it to your right. Now
move it up.
Now walk it to your left. Now
bring it on.
Hey. Now kick, kick. Hop out in. Now kick.
Come on,
step to your right now.
Woman, come on.
Turn to your left.
It's the biker shuffle. It's the biker shuffle.
It's the biker shuffle, baby.
It's the biker shuffle. It's the biker shuffle. Do the biker shuffle. Do the biker shuffle. Do the biker shuffle. Do the biker shuffle.
Now walk it to your right. Now move it on up, move it on up. Now walk it to your left. Now bring it on back, bring it on back. Now kick with it, kick with it. Hop out in, now kick with it. Step to your right, now slide with it. Turn to your left, walk it to your right. Now move it on up, move it on up. Now walk it to your left. Now bring it on back, bring it on back. Now kick with it, kick with it. Hop out in, now kick with it. Step to your right, now slide with it. Turn to your left.
It's the king of line dance, baby.
It's Big Moochie, baby.
Next on deck is Animal Flavor. We are human beings.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, these clouds arouse my desire for life.
Yeah,
I did just add some spice, taking the storms, what is wrong is right.
Yeah,
vice versa, we can't bring back the hands of time.
Yeah,
productivity unlocked daily.
Yeah,
in togetherness, I believe it's the master of plans.
Yeah,
for eternity, say you. Yeah, say me.
Yeah,
fingerprints, a firm grip.
Yeah,
my Lord is a master.
Yeah,
I was born equipped with this arithmetic.
Yeah,
words of wisdom.
Yeah,
witness to the blind, leading the blind.
Yeah,
behind to bless, to stress.
Yeah,
with this prophecy.
Yeah,
I prophesy.
Yeah,
ignorance is kind.
Yeah,
inviting us with a smile.
Yeah,
is it love or lust? Moving forward.
Yeah,
turn then unwind.
Yeah,
two steps.
Yeah,
with each breath I breathe.
Yeah,
together we will achieve.
Yeah,
feel strong about that's the least.
Yeah.
I believe in equality, yeah.
Yeah.
We all human beings. Yeah.
Yeah.
We all human beings howling.
Yeah.
Like a wolf in the still of the night. A beast.
Yeah.
Playing this out, matching the pieces, transforming my reality.
Yeah.
Enabling the growth of the supreme being. 1, 2,
yeah.
10.
Yeah.
Make sure the deep off time,
yeah,
doesn't snatch your mind, spiraling out of control. Your soul,
yeah,
our Lord shall console.
Yeah.
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 Straight and narrow, not just the bow. I am the arrow. With
yeah.
these blessings, I do travel.
Yeah.
Steady through the universe.
Yeah.
Frequently do I converse with the master degree in infinity.
Yeah.
Setting for nothing more or nothing less.
Yeah.
Because together we will achieve equality. Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
We are all human beings. Yeah.
Yeah.
We are human beings. Come on.
Yeah.
Because together we will achieve.
Yeah.
I stand firm in this belief. Equality. Yes, Lord. We all.
Yeah.
We all human beings.
Yeah.
4 and 6 get 10.
Yeah.
I check once, then twice, then turn.
Yeah.
Our fire. I be pouring out love on each of your foreheads.
Yeah.
Blessed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Equality.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. We all human beings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Equality.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. We all human beings.
Next on deck is Shergi, Lovely Day.
Get higher, push it on the pressure with the 25. guys. You know, this is the part of the show we got to be going off. Before I go, I just want to let you guys know out here for all the artists that did not hear the submissions tonight, I want you to do is this. If you got your mixes ready, all you got to do is go to www.hiphopnationalradio.com and send your mixes to us. But remember, the language and the content need to be right. I see you guys next time. God bless. This is Dr. Ray T in the mix for Hip Hop National Radio.
Now you know who I am. Now you know who I be. Now you know I got at least 1,000 that's rolling with me.
HipHopNational.com.
For coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio. Hip Hop. Hip Hop.